I've also started the, I've started the recording and we're on with that. And okay. Now guys, I'm going to probably mute myself. I've got a, I'm going to be eating a late lunch and I've got a guest here in my office, but I'll be checking in, but this is going to be, I know, a presentation that Tom's taking the lead on. Joe, Trevor, how are you guys doing, man?
Doing well.
Good.
Getting things done.
Cool.
Finals are coming up, so I can focus on this 100% after that for at least for a month or two.
Well, I think Tom and I have talked, and, you know, for the next holidays are about to kick, and we've got about 3 weeks before we take a Christmas break for about 2 weeks. What we're going to do, though, during that, right now it's about kind of finishing up. We're going to be opening up another module here soon. I want to make sure everyone's been able to get through the sales module. This was our biggest one, but the next one's about ready to go as well. And so we'll be opening up that latest module. And then past that, we'll have about one left after that. So doing good.
Awesome. Well, I know Marianne said she's going to try to call, but I think she has to do something that she has to go to like a court or something like that to be, I don't know, a witness or something like that. I'm not quite sure the details. But so she might hop on via phone.
All right.
And Mike said he would hop on too, so he might just be a little late. So, hey, for you guys out there, Joe and Trevor, can you guys hear me all right? And can you see my screen, more importantly, or just as importantly?
Yes, everything looks good here.
Okay, so you can see the screen clearly?
Absolutely. It's orange. It says, yep. How to Leverage Amazon.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to get started. Today we're going to talk about two main things. And I'm not sure maybe the best way whether to start with, you know, which one to start with, but I figured I'd start with Amazon because I think some of the same rules that apply to Amazon in terms of the creation of content can be used for lead magnets, which we're going to talk about second. So first we're going to talk about how to leverage Amazon to build your email list. And in this case, based on some feedback from you guys, I'm going to show you some quick hacks to put something together and get something up on Amazon. And it's not going to be incredibly in-depth, but it'll show you some time savers because the reality is, when you actually use Amazon, the stuff that goes in there, it doesn't have to be the cleanest looking stuff. It doesn't have to be the best stuff. There's a lot of templates out there, and I can share some templates with you as well that you'll have access to make yourself look professional. And beyond that, it's just more a matter of, you know, once it looks okay and the content's good, you know, what's the best way to deploy it. So I'm talking more strategically here. But how do we actually use Amazon to build your email list? So that's exactly what we're going to talk about, because when you can get downloads in Amazon, the pro of this is that you have access, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, you'll have access to one of the biggest markets, biggest online retailers in the world. It is the biggest one. So, and we'll get into that. But the problem is you don't get the people's email addresses. So when somebody downloads your book, you don't know who they are. And at the end of the day, if you're building a business online, you want to grow your list. That's what's really most important. So some stats about the publishing industry. I think you guys might find this kind of fascinating. I know I did when I first learned about these. So I want to share just a couple of key stats that I think are pretty important. In 2004, 950,000 titles out of the 1.2 million tracked by Nielsen BookScan sold fewer than 99 copies. So just as awareness that there's over a million books that were published online in 2004, and that's grown. Statistically means that you have less than an 80% chance of selling more than 99 copies. So you have an 80% chance of selling, less than 99 copies of your book. So if you're putting something out there kind of haphazardly, the chances of you actually selling more than 100 copies of your book is very slim. And that was back in 2004, and the landscape is actually more competitive now. In the U.S. alone, in 2012, there were 391,000 books published. In 2013, more than 450,000. And if that pace continues into 2015, that means 1,728 books will be published daily, or about one book published every minute. And according to The Guardian, half of self-published authors earn less than $500. But there's good news. So the revenue and the impact of book publishing is continuing to increase as well. And the majority of it is actually going to self-publishers. But they need to know how to actually leverage these digital platforms, not just Amazon, but their own platform. So this is what the trend line looks like for publishing as an industry. global consumer books revenue will increase to $64 billion in 2018, which is a ridiculous amount of money, but that's the trend. And ebooks make up around 30% of all book sales, and Amazon has a 65% share within that category. So that's an important stat right there, if you think about it. 30% of those numbers that we just showed you are from digital books, and Amazon has 65% control of that. So one in three ebooks sold on Amazon are self-published and generating 40% of revenue on the Kindle platform, which is really encouraging for anybody who's self-publishing. The U.S. publishing industry generated $27 billion in net revenues in 2013. And while Amazon owns the majority of the market share for digital books, there's even more profit to be had by self-publishing directly to your audience, which we'll talk about in a little bit. This is an example of one of my books that continues to sell daily or weekly, and it generates this additional revenue stream that I have not had to touch for over a year now, which is pretty cool. So it's one of these, I want you guys to take this in. This isn't to brag or anything, but to show what's possible if you kind of see the book there and you build the proper sales funnel around it that basically automates the sales process. And this is Nathan Berry. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does a lot of self-publishing as well, and his numbers are ridiculous. He's making, you know, over $250,000 a year, probably close to $500,000 a year through selling directly to his audience. And the reason I bring these up, these statistics in particular, is because these statistics are not tracked by the publishing industry, and they show the true power of publishing. So the actual numbers that we're looking at are ones that are tracked by the industry, so things like Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But the stuff that you sell directly to your audience is not tracked. So recently, this is an example, and one I'm going to show you as we use an example for the Amazon Kindle Store, how to rank in Amazon and how to really dominate the Kindle Store. I recently helped Dan Norris launch his book, The 70 Startup, to the top 30 in all of his Amazon, and number one in entrepreneurship and small business, and that's in paid. That means that beat out the Lean Startup. It beat out all these real, like, major business books to be number one. So this is what we're going to cover today in terms of agenda. When you should use Amazon and when you shouldn't. How to rank in Amazon, because again, what's the point of putting something on Amazon if you're not going to get sales from it, you're not going to get downloads. Then we're going to talk about hacks for designing, formatting, uploading your book to Kindle. And then we're going to talk about how to optimize your book to get Amazon readers to become subscribers. So by the way, guys, I don't have my the messenger open. I'm just doing the presentation here. So if you have a question, just chime in. Even I know I talk fast, but just cut me off and say, wait, Tom, could you please explain that? Because this is for you. So if you have a question, chances are other people have questions. And so I think that's the best way for us to proceed. It's just cut in. I'll give time at the end to ask questions too, but if you just have a question you want answered immediately or I'm not clear enough, just let me know and I'd be happy to expand on it. So why use Amazon, first and foremost? And Jeremy, by the way, thanks for joining us. So now we have Jeremy, Trevor, Joe. I don't think Mike's on the call just yet, but hopefully we'll be soon. But it's good to have you guys. So why use Amazon? Well, I think the only reason you should ever use Amazon is if you're going for reach. Amazon is the number one online store in the world, and millions of people search Amazon to buy products every day. Every month. And there's probably tens of thousands every day, if not hundreds of thousands. It's the number one e-commerce online store in the world. So unlike Google, which is the number one search engine, Amazon is the number one retail search engine, which is a big difference. So that people are coming here to buy. Now, of course, if I'm saying that this is only good for reach, though, not for sales, well, the reason is Amazon takes 30 to 70% of every book sale. So if I sell a $10 book, I might get $3 to $7 from that. That's not very good. On the contrary, if I sold directly to my audience, I could take much greater percentage of that. So Amazon takes 30 to 70%, actually it's 35% to 70% of every purchase. But if you sell through your own platform, you're going to increase your revenue. So I use Gumroad a lot. This is an example of Gumroad up in the top left. And so if I sell something on Gumroad for, say, $40, I'm going to get 95% of that, give or take. Versus if I sold a book, which I couldn't do all these bonuses and stuff like that on Amazon, I'd only get, 35 to 70% of that, depending on where the region is I'm selling. And also what you price it at. So Amazon has restrictions on what you can price it at. So if my book is not priced between, I believe it has to be over $1 and under $9 to get 70% royalty. And I'll have to double check those figures. But if it's outside those bounds, so if you have like a $1 product or $11 product, you only get 30% or 35%. So it's not a very good way to build revenue if you're using the Amazon store. At least not as good as if you sold directly to your audience. So that said, I still think it's very powerful for reach. So if you don't have an audience, it's a good way to get an audience, but you have to set your book up for success in terms of people have to download it and then join your email list. And so the first thing that matters about this then is actually getting your book ranked in the top of Amazon. Because if you're not in the top of Amazon, nobody's going to find you. I have books that are thousands down the list that trickle in buyers, maybe one a day at most, right? Maybe a few a week. And that's just not useful if you're trying to build an audience. So if you're going to build an audience, you want to have it ranked in maybe top five in the categories that you care about. So that's where Amazon SEO comes in. And like Google, Amazon has their own search engine optimization. So Amazon is the world's largest search engine. E-commerce search engine. I gotta fix that. And so, like I just mentioned, it's like Google. When we talk about search engine optimization, we're talking about how do we word our description, how do we word our title, how do we put our stuff up in Amazon to get it ranked higher than other books. So how do we rank in Amazon? Well, this is actually from Amazon's own words. So they say search is the primary way that customers use to locate products on Amazon. Customers search by entering keywords, which are matched against the search terms you enter for a product. Well-chosen search terms increase a product's visibility and sales. The number of views for a product detail page can increase significantly by adding just one additional search term, if it's a relevant and compelling term. Factors such as price, availability, selection, and sales history help determine where the product appears in a customer's search results. In general, better selling products tend to be toward the beginning of the results list. As your sales of a product increase, so does your placement. So basically, Amazon told us exactly how to rank in Amazon. It's pretty simple, right? Number one, you have to sell more copies of your books. Simply put. So, and Amazon kind of ranks based on almost like an acceleration. Like if the algorithm is more acceleration. So it's not even so much how many total books you download, but how many you do over a given period of time. So Amazon is actually a little bit predictive too. So if you have like 3,000 downloads in a day, you're kind of shoot up to probably the top five, if not number one, probably number one in your category, because it's going to assume that you're going to download several thousand more the next day. And it's predictive that way. But it's also, obviously, it's a function of acceleration. Unlike a top speed, it's about how fast you can move over a given period of time. So that's the acceleration analogy I'm using there. So the key is to get a lot of downloads at once. The second important way to do this is to actually add descriptive keywords, no fluff. And I highlighted small business because that's a category that shows up. But maybe a better thing to have shown here is a search term that people search in Amazon. So when you search Amazon, you say, how do I make money online? If I had put how do I make money online two or three times in the descriptive, in the description of the Amazon book that you're publishing, it would have made this book potentially rank for that search term that people search. But just by the way, it's like Google too. The more common a word is, the more competitive it is. So you don't want to just put in stuff that's common because you probably won't rank for it. You want to be very specific and stuff. And the thing is, if you're just trying to, a lot of people try to game SEO and put in terms that are popular, but if it's not appropriate, people will click and then click off. It's just like Google. So that's not useful to game, but what is important is that you put in phrases that apply to the book that you want to publish and the terms that people are using to search for that type of book. And reviews. Now, reviews help indirectly. They don't actually, from everything I've learned and experienced, they don't actually affect the ranking directly in terms of, like, it doesn't matter if you have 100 reviews. But what does help is that when people see reviews, they're more likely to buy the book or to download it. So the more reviews you have that are real, from real customers, the better off you are, because people are going to see these 5- and 4-star reviews that are from real people, and they're going to be more likely to download that. So that reviews indirectly affect your rank in Amazon. So that's an overview of Amazon SEO, like the real down and dirty, quick overview of it. And there's probably more stuff we could talk about, and I'd be happy to answer more questions about that stuff. If you guys have questions at the end or even right now, just interrupt. Otherwise, what I'm going to do is actually go on to how do you put this stuff together to get something up in the Amazon bookstore.
So I actually have a question for you, Tom.
Yeah.
So for those keywords that you're using on Amazon, can you saturate it too much? So like on Google, when you're putting your blog, you're trying to put in keywords and stuff, so when the spiders crawl your page, the Google spiders go and look and see how you fit in the whole SEO algorithm. If you have, like, I know it used to be on Google, if you have, like, more than three, or if you just put in those words randomly, it actually affected your score. Maybe you said it, I didn't catch it, but will that affect your ranking? Like, can you put in too many inside Amazon?
From what, you know, it's a really good question. So the interesting thing to recognize about Amazon is in how it's different than Google. Google is crawling. You even said it yourself, the spiders. Yeah. That term or whatever. Basically, just saying they have to. Google's job is to go through everybody's website in the entire world so that they can categorize and rank it for other people, right, to find you. But Amazon is using its own platform, so it doesn't have. It's interesting there because you realize that everything on Amazon is on its platform. It's not trying to search outside its platform. So, one, that's just a difference right there. And then two, and I guess just conceptually to understand the difference. Then the second thing is what I've learned and kind of what I've read about and based on experience through launching multiple books on this platform and seeing what happens. It actually doesn't matter if you pack in a lot of keywords. It's actually probably a good thing to a degree. What's fascinating is that it's not going to crawl through it and say like this is like a Google spider might and then realize oh this is spam. Amazon might do that too. It's tougher because they are not as transparent with how they rank things. So I guess the what I found though is they said that is the more key phrases that you rank for that are I don't know what the term I'm saying appropriate, but I don't think that's the right
relevant.
Term, but relevant, thank you. The more relevant keywords that you use, the better. So we had small business in here a lot because we wanted to rank for small business. One of the things we did too was we looked at, you know, what are the questions that if somebody's searching for a book on small business, what are they gonna look for? Well, they might ask, you know, how do I build a startup or something like that, or how do I build a business? And those are ways. If that was here, actually, I'm gonna switch over to my Amazon. Can you see Amazon right now, where I'm at?
Yes.
My screen.
Yep.
So let me show you real quick. So this is another example I was gonna give you, but so how to train a dragon? Nice. So in Amazon, if you look at this. So first of all, when somebody just comes in and does a blanket search, it searches all of Amazon. So that's something to keep in mind too. I'm going to switch to the Kindle store right now, but that's kind of its own kind of rabbit hole to talk about how to kind of get found in the entire Kindle store if you're just a book. But let's just say we're searching the Kindle store. How do I start a book again on Kindle? I don't even know what that is. Business? See if nothing comes up. Interesting. So as you can see, there's nobody's really searching that. How do I make money? That's a good one. Everybody's searching that. Make money online, from home, live wealthy, belonging, on the internet. These are things that people are searching all the time. So these are keywords. So the question is, like anything that's going to auto-populate like this is something that probably hundreds of thousands of people have searched for. Now that said, that's a general kind of framework to say, okay, if it pops up, that might be something you want to use. But even these, I'd be hesitant unless my book was purely on one of these things, to pepper my description with this kind of stuff unless it truly applies. How to make money from home, that might apply to, let's say, a freelancer book that I was going to show you, or make money online, that might apply to, or make money on the internet, that might apply to the last book, the 70 startup we just talked about. But it's also tough. That's a really. Let's see if we search it. This is competitive. And look, make money on the internet. And did you notice what I searched? Make money on the internet. This guy or girl knew that this was a keyword that ranks. And so did this person. 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 Do you see what's going on here? Everybody's trying to do this. They're trying to rank as high as possible for this stuff. And good for them, but it's also kind of a race to the bottom. So I tell you guys about Amazon SEO to be aware of it so that your book doesn't sink because it's not optimized, not necessarily so that you can trick the system and get up higher. Does that make sense?
Right.
So I guess it's a small caveat. So the answer is no, Amazon is actually more forgiving when you fill it full of keywords, but it's also kind of a, you know, it's tough to tell because they don't release their data like Google does. Like Google will tell you what you get knocked for based on their search algorithms every time they do an update. Amazon doesn't. So your best bet is to just create relevant, fill your book description with relevant terms for whatever you're selling.
Be authentic.
So now I'm going to go to actually like creating the stuff. So this, since I'm going to send out a document. You guys will have access to all this, but this is like the general steps you need to do for Amazon. And if you're doing a physical print book, say via CreateSpace, that it's print on demand. So there's three accounts you need to set up: Amazon KDP, a CreateSpace account, which is separate. It's a subsidiary of Amazon now, though. And then an Amazon author page or author account. And it's different than these three. When you're considering publishing a book, you're also going to want to consider an ISBN. If you use CreateSpace, if you're just publishing on Amazon, just digital, you do not need an ISBN. ISBNs are just for physical books. As you can see here, an ASIN is like an ISBN, but for digital books. Amazon creates this automatically for you when you upload a book into KDP. So if you're just doing digital, you don't need to worry about ISBNs. If you're doing physical, you can use CreateSpace, ISBN as your publisher. They'll show up as your publisher, but they won't take any money from you. You know what I mean? That doesn't really mean anything. It's just a stamp. Otherwise, it costs about $125 for a single ISBN. So they're pretty expensive. If you want to be more official, you can get an ISBN, buy your own. I'll be honest with you, though. Basically, nobody's going to notice or care. So just FYI. When you're getting it ready, you're going to have to create your book's description about the author description. And it's important to consolidate editorial reviews, ideally quotes from your book that will make you look awesome. So anybody that can review your book prior to you putting it on there. As an example, going back to Amazon real quick. This is the book that I helped launch, and I think it's actually ranked pretty high still. Because this was over a month ago. It's like 2 months ago now. So 144 reviews. We definitely got it to the top. But if you look here, Amazon Books description, notice that it cuts off right here. So your book description, you're only going to see the first couple lines. And then it gets covered, and it goes straight to customers who bought this item also bought. It's just funny how Amazon does this. But what they don't cover up is editorial reviews. And you can put whatever you want in here. This isn't somebody else putting stuff in here. You get to do this. So you can put all the quotes you want in here or whatever you want and to talk about. And the cool part is Amazon's not going to cover this up, nor are they going to cover up about the author. And there's a couple other sections you can add in here if you want more content here before people get to the reviews. So, again, this is the kind of content you want to build before you get it ready to upload. You're going to need to format the interior file for Kindle. If you go through Amazon itself, they'll have documentation on this. There's a couple tools that you can download to make life really easy when it comes to doing interior file formatting for Kindle. It's as simple as taking a Word document and just exporting it through to a MOBI file. And again, they have software on Amazon to download and to do that. So again, it's very simple. Format interior for CreateSpace. This is a little trickier because for physical print books, there's some caveat or there's a certain things you need to do with a physical print book that you can get away with on digital that you cannot get away with physical print if you want to be taken seriously. It's things like margins are more important, even versus odd pages and so on and so forth. But again, I have templates for that if you guys want to use them. Create cover image for your Kindle. We'll talk about how to do that very easily in this next couple steps. Create the cover image for the physical print book through CreateSpace. So now this is another example. You can do it. You can create your physical print book in CreateSpace. They have a template creator. I think Amazon does too for their Kindle, but I would just make your own. When you're doing physical print, though, you have to remember there's a back cover and a spine. So it all depends on how many pages your book is, what size it is, and so on and so forth. And while there's a lot of free stuff out there, templates-wise, they're not all created equal. But again, if you guys are looking to do that, just let me know, and I can share some stuff of mine with you. Then you need to upload on a Kindle, on a CreateSpace, verify the interior documents of both platforms and the covers, and then you can get a proof of your physical print book if you want before you publish, and then you can hit publish, and you're good to go. So that's like that's in a nutshell. It's not more complicated than that. Now, if you sell directly to your audience, I use Gumroad. It's 5 steps. You create a Gumroad account, you create a cover image, create your book description about the author, you upload your content, and you can publish the link and start selling it. And anything goes on this. I've sold physical products, digital products, and subscription services. So you can get away with selling just about everything on Gumroad. I don't know if they encourage services to be sold on there, but you can. So when we're talking about doing covers, if you guys want a hack to improve your life in terms of just reducing the amount of time you spend on this kind of stuff and you're not a designer by trade, some things that are going to help you out is I love Canva.com. It will save your life. And this goes actually if you're doing promotion and stuff like that too. Notice here, Canva is this free software online where it already has pre-formatted stuff. So see this Kindle cover? It's already formatted, or it's already at 1410 pixels by 2250 pixels. And that's basically the exact size you want for a Kindle cover to submit it to the Amazon store. You can also do this for Facebook ads. So if you're doing a Facebook ads, it has the exact pixels you need to do an appropriate Facebook ad. So it's already pre-sized and everything like that for you, which is really convenient. So I encourage Canva for a lot of things. Before I get rid of that, when you actually go on Canva, they also come up with a lot of different templates. So let me see if I can pull that up here real quick. And I'll show you what's cool about this. As you can see, I do a lot of stuff on this. So if you click Kindle Cover, it's going to open it up. This interface is pretty simple to use. And again, most of it's free. You can pay for special stuff, but look at this. Already, if you wanted to use this cover, you'd have something that looks professional, and it's good to go. And notice how it has the squares behind it. That's because to download this, you'd have to pay money because it's something that's pre-designed. But if you deleted this picture, you could upload your own picture, and then you'd be good to go. Does that make sense? So it's actually super simple in terms of, like, if you want to get a professional-looking cover, you can do it so easily here. You can even spend money on the premium pictures they have, or delete them and just add your own premium pictures and format it yourself. But again, having this access to just a cover that looks professional already is really powerful and a good way to go about it so that your stuff doesn't look amateur, but that it actually looks like, you know, a professional cover. And so this is a really easy, fast, cheap way to do it. If you're looking to do Amazon CreateSpace and Kindle, one of the fastest ways to do that is actually to cut your Kindle publishing time in half is by publishing to Kindle from CreateSpace. So instead of creating two documents, just format your stuff for CreateSpace. And you can, once you're inside CreateSpace, you can actually click a button that says Publish on Kindle, and it'll take the content that you've already uploaded to CreateSpace and create a Kindle book out of it. That way you're not creating two separate files and creating double the work. As far as does this turn out the highest quality stuff, you know, it's one of those kind of hit or miss things. You can test it out though and see what it looks like, but I found that it looks fine. And then finally, if you guys are like, well, you know, I just don't have the time of day to do this, you can hop on Fiverr and get your book formatted rapidly and inexpensively. So if you just have a Word document, there are people who will format that into a CreateSpace book or, you know, Amazon. I mean, just look at the stuff that's out there. $5, format your book for CreateSpace. They generally do it by the number of pages, so it's usually like $5 per like 20 or 30 pages or something like that, but it's still super cheap. And again, check it out. Look for ratings. Make sure you trust the person you're going to buy from on here. But luckily, with reviews and stuff like that, you can generally see who's good and who's not. So any questions for that before we get into how to turn readers into subscribers? Joe, do you have any questions? Trevor? Jeremy? Mike? Mike, great to have you here.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to go ahead and watch the replay, but I just need to get smarter on CreateSpace. I'm sure you hit that before, so that's the only question I have, but I don't want to derail right now, so I'll just look at it later.
Okay. I appreciate that, Mike. Well, yeah, so check it out later, because we started from scratch in terms of, you know, why I use Amazon, how to use it, and so on and so forth, and that last piece was just how to get your book up there and out there into the Amazon bookstore. So we've covered why you should use Amazon and why you shouldn't, and if you're using it, how to rank in it, then how to quickly create your book in it. Well, now we need to say, well, what's the point of actually having a book on the Amazon bookstore? Like I said, I think it's for reach. It's not really for revenue. You can create revenue streams on Amazon, and that's cool, but I think it's overrated. I think Amazon is much more powerful if you can turn it into a lead magnet, as in a funnel back to your website, back to your email list. So what we want to do is turn readers into subscribers. So one of the first ways to do that is within the first few chapters, I'd say first three pages of your book, you want to link to your site and incentivize people to click through the link. So I'm not saying this is the best in the world, but this guy just recently did this, and this is about the author, which is a few pages into his Kindle book. And look, he links back to his website right there. And why is that important? Because right now this picture that you're looking at is in the Amazon bookstore. When you click the book, it gives you a preview version of the book. And a lot of people click that to go through the first few pages. So if you use the first few pages to do some kind of call to action, more, even more powerful than this, this is just kind of, you know, general. It still gives you the opportunity to click. But say you have a the first or second page in, you say, hey, do you want exclusive audio bonuses, the workbook, and yada, yada, yada? Click here to get access. Even if I'm not buying the book, I can still click on it through the Amazon store and go to your site. And now all of a sudden, you've used Amazon as a lead generation tool for your website. And that should send them back to a page, and I'll get to that in a second. Do the same thing at the end of every chapter. Have an upsell. So this is the same book. He says at the end of every chapter, he says, download full version of the tools, resources, and worksheets which support this book by heading to freelancelift.com/book. And if I click through that, it gets me to this page, which if you scroll down, has resources that I can then click on and have to subscribe to get. Some of them are immediately accessible, but other ones I have to sign up to get access to. So now what he's done is he created a lead magnet out of his book. And actually, yeah, that was the last piece I was going to end on. So I know that was kind of down and dirty, but I want to make that as quick as possible so people understood the power of this. So any questions at this point in time, guys, about Amazon, about formatting, about design, anything that's left hanging that I didn't touch? Jeremy, you out there? What did you think, man? Any questions? Oh, Mike, go ahead.
Just thinking of digital downloads, etc. Do you ever do a physical product? What's the benefit of that, or are we talking all e-digital?
So, is the question about Amazon in particular?
Well, any kind of book that we're doing, either Amazon or whatever the format. Do you ever want to have a physical book, or really just stick with digital?
No. I believe in physical print. There's still a lot of people that order physical print books. And especially if you're doing something, say like Mike, if you want to have a calling card for, you know, if you want to really dominate that space as either in the realm of like PTSD or chaplains, and you have a book that's on that topic, that could be something that you use for conferences, that you can let that if people hire you to come speak, they can buy your book in bulk. So it's super helpful to have physical print books just for that purpose. And so to do that, that's why I always talk about CreateSpace. CreateSpace is a print-on-demand service that is super easy to use, creates pretty high-quality books. You can't tell the difference between a CreateSpace book and a traditionally published book, like through some nice printer, unless you're kind of a book snob. So the average person is not going to know the difference. And if you go through CreateSpace, it's a subsidiary of Amazon, so it's really easy to get your stuff uploaded into CreateSpace and formatted properly, and then you can sell directly from there. And it, again, because it's print-on-demand, if one or two people want to order your book paperback, they can, and it works perfect. You get 40% of, I believe it's 40% of the net revenue, 40% of profit after expenses. I'd have to double check, but it's about 40% of the sales price that you'll get after a minimum threshold when you sell a physical print book. So again, you're not going to make a ton of money off it, but it is useful to have because people will order it.
And when you're talking about books, you can go to War and Peace, 800 pages, but in terms of what you've seen mostly, what's kind of a good sweet spot for length of book?
That's the interesting question too. It totally depends. There's people that, if you're going, and this is kind of dictates or depends on what your goal. I would say don't do what everybody else is doing just because you think that that's the right thing to do. You want to look at what's the goal. So if you're doing a really highly targeted book on a very specific topic, instead of doing a traditional book that's like 200 or 300 pages, probably 300 pages, maybe it's better to do a white paper or a report that's 20 to 50 pages. And you know the irony of that is that doing those kind of white papers or reports, you can generally sell for a lot more too. You could sell from your own platform, you could sell a white paper for $50 or $100 for a 30-page report. But on the Amazon bookstore, you won't be able to get away with that because nobody's going to buy it. So that's the – I don't know if that answers – that's a little – is that confusing at all?
Well, no. I guess just kind of toggling into this publishing world to kind of figure out, kind of what my goal would be. And I think, there's at least two different ways. One is to really push information in the book – and shoot the whole load with that, or use it as a lead magnet, give partial information that's going to be valuable, but then hold back some of the other information so they can come get it from me, you know, as we generate leads, etc.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the I think what's interesting about that is you can get away with a book on the Kindle store for 100, you know, that's 100 pages, even less in some cases. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with it. And so would you be using it, do you think, primarily as a lead magnet or a way to generate interest in what you do, Mike?
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, because I've got a pretty good network of folks, but I'm thinking, you know, anywhere between 1,000 to 5,000 total that I can reach right now. You know, that's me, Chaplin's Error, and the other folks that I have easy access to, but I'd like to get it into a lot larger. And so as I think about this, I would like to look at a late lead magnet. You can use Amazon like that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So one of the things, too, I guess, is that fine line between, you know, it's really going to come back to goal. And it's the nature of the beast. I always ask people, you know, what are you going for, reach, impact, revenue? And really it comes down to two. Do you want reach or do you want revenue? But also, I guess impact is an important piece of the equation there too, because if you're doing more traditional book in the consciousness system that's like 200 to 300 pages, and that's more about spreading a message and something that people can hold in their hands and that you can start a conversation around, then that's going to dictate, you know, how you create it, what you write, how long it is, and how you format it and design it and ship it. For something like that you want to use as more just like a calling card or a message to start a conversation, something in Kindle that doesn't focus on the upsell to the, like I said before, where it's in the beginning of the book, something that maybe doesn't go so hard with that, but talks a little bit more about, you know, something along the lines of, you know, it just focuses on the message and can be used by anybody in that industry, that's going to be probably more powerful for you. Alternatively, though, if you do have one that focuses on books or focuses it on as a lead generator so that you put it up on the Kindle store and you say, okay, this is out there, it's maybe an abridged version or something like that, and it's digital only, and you can do that, it can be much shorter, and it could be the whole purpose of that could be something that just drives people back to your website and through by saying, you know, something along the lines of come back to my website and get these free resources or for this free course or for this free video training series. In addition to this, click through here to get it. So, again, I don't know if I'm answering it. It's really going to be dictated by what your goal is, and then you kind of just backward engineer it from there and say, you know, what's the purpose of this? If you want it as something that you can use as a calling card, use as a conversation device, then I think that'll dictate how you go about publishing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's something, you know, this is the first time I've really even looked at doing like an ebook, etc. So it's worthwhile to start asking those questions, but it's helpful.
Yeah, great. So any other questions for this stuff? Otherwise, I'm going to roll into to lead magnets, guys. Joe, do you have anything?
I have a quick question.
Oh, Johnny, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? So kind of moving away from, I guess, using Amazon and Kindle for a little bit, but I saw that you're using Publishizer, I think, for the book you're doing right now. And I saw someone else doing something similar but using Kickstarter. I was just wondering if, what would drive you to one versus another, because I've seen people use different funding sources.
So, yeah, okay, good question. So I'm doing a crowdfunding campaign for my book right now. This is it. And one of the cool things about doing something like this, a crowdfunding campaign, is number one, it gives you a reason to it builds an event out of your book launch. Two, and so when I say event, I mean if I was to just say, hey guys, I'm working on a new book, you can pre-order it now, it'll be ready in January, people in my audience will probably sign up for it, but they wouldn't be really ready to share it. But by doing something like this, people are much more likely to share. This is already has like 164 likes on Facebook and 74 tweets, so people are sharing this because there's an event around it. The second thing is, obviously, it allows you to raise money before you ever start doing anything. So by the time this is funded, that'll be $7,500 that I'll use at a minimum, and I should reach that pretty soon here. I have another 20 days, but hopefully we'll hit that in the next few days. But I should have $7,500 then at a minimum to then fund the production of my book. So it's really good in that context so that I don't spend a lot of time and money building something before I know people want it. I already have this many pre-orders. The reason I use Publishizer, say, versus Kickstarter is, number one, I actually know the founder. He's a good dude, Guy Vincent. But he worked with me one-on-one on this. Whereas if you go something like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, bigger platform, yeah, but they're not going to work with you one-on-one. You're just another number in the system. So for books, because this is focused purely on books, it made sense for me. Here's why I wouldn't use this type of event, or when I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. Number one, I wouldn't do it all the time. Like, I don't know if I'll necessarily crowdfund a book again. I might, but it might be a while. And the reason is, you can, again, because it's an event, I can't really do this all the time. Otherwise, people will get pretty bored of it. So this is kind of a one-shot kill kind of thing. You get this chance to do something like this once, and then probably not again for a long time. I don't know why that is. Well, I mean, I think you guys can understand why that is. Like, there's no way I could just keep coming back to my audience and say, hey, here's my new crowdfunding campaign again. People will get tired of it. But this is unique and new to my audience, so they're not used to it. The reason I wouldn't do this is if I didn't have an audience built up already. So I have about 2,000 or 3,000 email subscribers. So I'm able to go to them and generally refund this thing through that. But if I only had a few hundred subscribers, there's no way I would try to kickstart something or publicize something or use Indiegogo, because these platforms are about activating and catalyzing your audience. It's not about finding people that are outside your audience. So does that answer the question? Jeremy?
Yeah, it does. And then just the next thing. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
The next thing that kind of came up in my mind is, so after this crowdfunding is done and you've sold these initial, I didn't actually look at it, but I'm assuming people get a copy or something like that after, you know, signing up. And so where are you planning on going after that to continue selling this book, just on your website, or are you planning to transfer it to Amazon or something like that?
That's a really good question. So I haven't decided that yet. Obviously, I'm going to think long and hard about that. But I actually may skip Amazon and just keep it on my website, because the question is, do I want reach or do I want revenue? I don't know yet. I think the thing is, here's the thing. I'm going to make more money if I sell this directly from my website to my audience. Here's my website real quick. Here's an interesting thing. I showed you that stats for one of those books that's perpetually making money for me. And the way I have that set up, you actually can't really find it on here. The only way to get to that book right now is to go through this Pay What You Want Crash Course. So that book is a Pay What You Want book. And so you have to actually go through my free e-course to then get access to that book. So I've created this funnel that now automates itself. And as you can see, it consistently brings in revenue. And I'll make more money doing that than I will having on Amazon. And so as far as what I do with this one, I might do the same thing. I'm going to create a free e-course around it and then do an upsell. That might be the technique I use for this. And I just don't know what the answer is yet. It's either going to be that. I might test out Amazon. I might not. I do know that if you do order it here, this is the only chance you're going to get one of the limited edition physical hardcover books. So that's, again, another reason to incentivize people to pre-order. But outside of that, I am not guaranteeing that this is going to be on the Amazon store at all. So I just don't know yet. Any other questions, guys? Joe, anything? Trevor, anything?
I'm good.
Okay. So I'm going to briefly go over, because it's the same principles when it comes to doing lead magnets, I'm going to briefly go over lead magnets. So I showed you my website. It's the same deal in terms of trying to get people to opt in. So before, I usually focused on just a single book that I was writing, The Art of Instigating, and I would say, hey, click here to get my free book. And I actually still do that, I think, right here. But and so I test out a lot of different things. So this, I'll say, hey, free copy of The Art of Instigating, free weekly emails, whatever. And so some reason for people to sign up and join me in my newsletter. What I found, though, that's way more effective than just doing something like that is to do something like OK Dork, that Noah Kagan does over at OK Dork. You notice that at the top here, he has resources, best of, free marketing toolkit, about. If you click on the free marketing toolkit, that sounds interesting, right? If I'm interested in marketing, and I'm going to his website probably because I am. And it's very simple right here, and I can get access. And this is the whole thing. Well, if I put my address in here, this is what comes out at the back end. It's just a list of different resources. And as you can see, this one is hosted on Dropbox. And it's just a Microsoft Word document. This is a Google document. This is also a Google document. These are both on Drive. This just goes to another page on his website, and so on and so forth. So that's his lead magnet. So this is just an example, guys, that you don't have to have the craziest standalone thing. That you could, your lead magnet could literally take people back to a page on your website with some just kind of protected content like this. And this isn't even that protected. I could take this, copy it, and send it to people, and then get access to it. But there's a reason for me to sign up, because this is a really compelling message right here, especially if I'm new to it. If I go to Real Men Real Style, Antonio does a great job with this. Oops, I didn't mean to click that just yet. But if I go to his main website, he has a pop-up that comes up. Let's see if it pops up again. Oh well, it might not. But it asks me if I want a particular guide or if I don't. And I think this is where it sends me to. So it basically sends me to something like this where I can then opt in. And if you opt in, you're taken to, so traditionally speaking, so this is the opt-in, he has the incentive, a nice clean image. It's the headline makes sense. If I'm here for style of advice, this makes sense to me, Seven Deadly Style Sins, of course I want that book. And it's very easy for me to get my book. So what's interesting is then he's going to send me here where it says, okay, check your email, confirm it. Then he's going to send me this email where I can click to confirm, and now all of a sudden he has my email access, or he has access to my email, and I'm all logged in, and then he's going to email me the book. So that's his process for actually delivering it, and he does that all on a back end using Infusionsoft, but you can use software such as AWeber. I know OKDork, I think he uses AWeber. I use MailChimp. These are all email marketing services that basically you log in, and once you log in, it sends you, in this case, he sends you just to a page. Antonio makes you confirm your email address, and then he'll send you an email with the essentially an autoresponder for with the free book. And in mine, I use MailChimp, so mine is automatic. As soon as you sign up for mine, my list, you'll once you confirm the email, you'll get a thank you email that has that in there. There's nothing more that you have to do. And that's completely free. It's actually, I call it an autoresponder, but it's just based on how MailChimp works. I'll see if I have that open, but I can show you that in depth if you guys want. So those are three ways you can deliver it. A fourth way is leadpages.net. Let's see. And as an example, let me see. These guys do it all the time. OKDork does it. They use the same thing. If you see here, they say get free updates on new posts right here. If I click on that, oh, that's odd. Normally it pops up. Oh, it sends me right there. Interesting. So what they're, let's see if that doesn't. So they're just sending me back here. Another way that I've done this is that you can use lead pages to create pop-ups in your website. Again, lead pages cost a little bit of money, but it can be pretty effective at converting people. So if I'm on here, for example, and I see this, I want to get Tom's Best Business and Marketing Toolkit or whatever it is. Well, I can sign up right here, put my email address in. So this, again, I'm using, and this, what's cool about this is, using lead pages, I put in my email address, and it's going to give me direct access, or it's going to send me something directly. So I can set this up to actually send an ebook or a file or whatever I want. And I've done this for maybe a dozen different types of products. So you click on a button, and it pops up, and it says, hey, do you want your free book or whatever? Once you enter your email address, it'll send you directly to that page, or it'll send you the thing straight to your inbox. So again, it's another really effective way to deliver a lead magnet from your website. So because I covered the Kindle book stuff and the PowerPoint slide, I want to say that the same thing goes for these type of free books that you opt into, is that this stuff does not have to be the most complex stuff in the world. You can do really simple stuff, and it doesn't have to be very pretty, but if it's useful, then that's all people care about. So this one is actually just, like I said, I think it's just a Word document. And he hosts it on Google, and he hosts it on Dropbox. There's nothing complex about this. And this is it. Sorry about that. This is obviously not very complex, is it? Any one of you guys could build something just like this, but it's still an incredibly powerful resource, and it's going to get me to opt in. And this, again, is another example, too, of doing something like this. This is a great incentive. You have something like this that people have to opt into from your Amazon book, and now you have a funnel set up. So people go to your book on Amazon, they click through here, and now they have all this other stuff that they can sign up for if they want. And if they've already downloaded your book on Amazon, they're going to sign up for this because they want that additional content. So, wow, that's the down and dirty, guys, in about 45 minutes. And it's a lot of information I know to take in. So I want to open this up for Q&A now for the last 10 minutes or so. And or we'll just wrap about anything that you guys have questions on. And I'm going to grab some water, but go ahead and speak up, John, Joe, Mike, Trevor, if you guys have any questions. I'm going to grab some water real quick.
Hey, well, I was getting some water. The other guys who are here, Joe, John, and Trevor, how would you guys be using this in your businesses?
Well, in my previous business, I was helping veterans. It's almost like the same thing. I think I mentioned it before, as high-speed bone drag. But it was before I even knew that they existed or that this was a thing. And I had My Money Magnet was a ebook that I wrote about explaining funnel marketing, because I noticed that, like, veterans, they were really intimidated with the idea of being a business owner. They thought it was this long, complex things with slideshows and PowerPoints and all this other crap wearing a suit. And so I wanted to show them that, no, you can do it at home. And I wrote this ebook, and I used Gumroad to publish it. But writing an ebook is wicked easy. It's basically, you do the Word doc, you can do it in Google Docs, you can do it in Word, whatever you're using, and then you transfer it over to a PDF, and then you upload it. I went on Fiverr. I used Fiverr, got great results for my book cover, and I'm not doing that business anymore, so I can show you guys the book just so you can look at it. It's not very well written. I did all the graphics inside the book myself, so it's pretty ugly. But it basically was just there as a freebie, and I also sold it too. I sold it for, like, I think $7 just to try and sell something, and it didn't turn out very well for me, but it does. They do work. You know, people do like getting those books and things.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's Fiverr right here. If you just type in book in Fiverr, you get all this stuff that comes up. Ebook covers and packages, creative writings. I bet you could even hire people to write your book for you. I've never done that. Maybe I should. I will ghostwrite a book or an ebook. So look at that for $5. It's pretty sweet. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff you could do with Fiverr. I don't know if I would necessarily hire a writer off of there, but the formatting stuff is generally pretty good, and you can get it for super cheap. So what was your – any other questions, guys? Mike, any other questions, thoughts, concerns, ideas?
No, I'm just kind of taking this in because, you know, really hadn't thought a lot about ebooks, but goodness, I mean, we talked about, you know, a possible course that I'm working on mm-hmm. while I'm doing my podcast, and an ebook would probably be a good thing just to throw up and see what sticks, you know, just to get it get it done and learn from that.
You know, one thing I would consider for you, not to be overwhelmed by it, you know, for if you're just using a lead magnet, the difference between, say, a lead magnet for your website and a Kindle book is that a lead magnet can be just a couple pages long. I showed you this one just now. I mean, this is 3 or 4 pages long, and it's just a list. Once it loads, it just goes through. It's just a list of 12 things, or 10, excuse me, 10 things, and that's it, and that's a great lead magnet. So maybe you could do something similar. So if you want to speak directly to chaplains, maybe you have a checklist for chaplains, and that could be your lead magnet, is a checklist. So I'm talking about ebooks, but I also kind of want to expand and say that if we're looking for people to opt in, an ebook is not always the best thing, like the conventional ebook, but maybe a checklist is, or maybe a template is, or maybe, you know, something like that is going to be a much better lead magnet for you guys. And again, much easier to create. You can spend 20-30 minutes creating a lead magnet that might be really useful and people are going to want, and that's going to increase your conversion very simply.
So, it's Mike,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tom. I'll talk after.
I was going to say, you know, at the end of the day, what we really want is just people to opt into our email lists when we have it set up and we're ready to rock and roll. So this just gives you a few different examples of ways to do that and kind of set up your book funnel. But yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, so on my other side, when I was talking about the veteran one I had, my money magnets, I gave away 3 things, and they were all Word docs. Again, just put them on PDF. And one of them was like 7 tips to success, and it was just, like, you know, basic life skill stuff. And then the other one was also a workbook, and I kind of got a good response from the workbook that I put out there, because that workbook gave almost like that first step or foundation. They were already taking action. And it led into all the other projects that I had planned down the road for other things. So when they signed into my email list, they got that free workbook, which was step one, and it kind of outlined, almost like remember I told you before about those core values, and then I sent you that, I posted that form that had you work through your core values or finding your single motivating purpose in the Facebook group. And that's sort of what that was. And then I followed up kind of with that. I followed up with email series teaching sort of like the next steps, and then it slowly progressed trying to get people on that, how that went. If that makes any sense. So that's how you can kind of use your money magnet into marketing and feeding for a larger product in the end, even though you're giving it away for free.
John, you were asking for the Cliff Notes. Did we cover that for you, or still is it still unclear? You out there, John? Missed a couple things. Oh, I see you're typing in. Okay. Okay. So briefly, what we went over, just Cliff Notes, was how to create an ebook specifically for Kindle. But again, that the same rules apply to outside of Kindle. Kindle is actually probably harder than just a general ebook, as Joe kind of just said. You can create a lead magnet out of something very basic, something very simple. Then I went over how to rank in Amazon. And specifically, like, if you want to write a book and you want to rank high in Amazon, how do you do that authentic, like organically and authentically in terms of like being honest, not trying to game the system, which always comes back to bite people in the ass, really. And then we went into three specific hacks, how to do that rapidly, do that quickly. And so we talked about, let me see, Fiverr over here, and using things like this to get your book up and running. And then we also talked about automation and content delivery. So if I want to do delivery of something, how do we do that? So I focused on lead pages or even any basic email email marketing service, whether it's MailChimp, Aweber, Infusionsoft, will do content delivery for you in some way, shape, or form. Lead pages is really good with it, so I really enjoy this. But that's the basics. Jeremy, any other questions, man? What are your thoughts on this?
I had a kind of an almost off topic, but with the when people are clicking to get to those whatever you're potentially offering on your website, do most website creations like Squarespace or WordPress, do they already track how many people are downloading, or are you getting the numbers primarily from people that are subscribing?
That's a good question. So if I did you say lead pages, check this out. I think this is kind of cool. So I can actually see exactly how many people are opting in on a lead page. So let's see. For a webinar that I ran, I had 61 people click on the link, 32 people opt in. For this free pivot checklist workbook, 204 people clicked on it, 124 people opted in. For a travel and work abroad toolkit, I created 180 people, clicked on it, 100 people opted in. So this tracks directly. I can also track through MailChimp. The thing is, though, with a basic WordPress, it's actually you'll need Google Analytics installed, and that's really the best you can do is just try to track how many people land on your page. But otherwise, not that I know of. Gumroad also tracks statistics, and Gumroad. So if you're doing a free book via Gumroad. And let me show you this real quick. Let's see, where's Gumroad? Gumroad is cool. You can use that and actually offer it $0 plus, pay what you want if you're interested in that. That's what I do. So here's an example. Gumroad tracks all these statistics. And what's cool is if you're doing it for zero plus and nobody pays anything, you don't have to pay anything either. You don't get charged. Gumroad doesn't charge you. So you can actually use Gumroad and link your Gumroad to Zapier. And I know that's a little complex, but you actually link your Gumroad account to Zapier.com. It's completely free. And every time somebody downloads your book, they automatically can be entered into your email list, which I do as well. So that means anytime somebody downloads one of my books, they get entered into my main email list. And that's a very easy thing to do. So now Gumroad is a really effective lead magnet delivery system. Does that answer the question, Jeremy?
Yeah, definitely.
John, you asked how could I apply this? In the context, you could apply this a number of different ways. So for you in particular, if you wanted to offer, I think you actually already offer on your website a free download, a free checklist, but you know, if you want to put that first front page or have a splash page dedicated to just that, or focus your website just on email or email lead generation, you could focus it in and around some kind of free offer, whether it's an ebook or a checklist or whatever that has that would be beneficial for your potential customer. And then so the stuff I talked about in terms of delivery, that's where this would be really powerful in terms of using something maybe like lead pages for automatic delivery or whatever your baked-in software is for your email marketing service, MailChimp or whatever it is. And then for Kindle, though, for Amazon, if you're wondering how do I leverage this, well, do you know enough about the subject that you work on in the real estate community and when it comes to inspections? Could you write a book on the topic of inspections? Let's see what's out there. Home inspection secrets of a happy home inspector. Interesting. So that's the number one in, when I search home inspection on the Kindle store. 49 reviews, that's pretty good. But this guy is now making, so this is a guide to peace of mind for home buyers, sellers, and agents who love them. Interesting. So what I'm saying is you could actually probably look at this book, you could probably buy this book and mimic it. And by mimic it, I mean, I don't mean like actually rip it off or anything, but look at what it's, is this actually valuable information? This looks pretty poorly formatted, but you know, is this valuable information? And then wait a second, do you know enough, or maybe does this, or is there a better way to present this information? And then you could write a book on the Amazon store, and now if you can rank higher than this guy in these two categories, do it yourself, buying and selling homes, then not only do you create a new revenue source, but this could be a lead magnet to what you do. And one of the cool ways to do this, if you're wondering, well, I don't know if I have the time or attention span to write a book, you can kind of go here and you can actually check out the reviews. I always, if you're looking to write a book, I would check at the, take a while. Yeah, John said, yeah, I think it would take a while to do this. Well, it's something you could start collecting now, kind of putting together pieces as you go. And you could look at reviews like this, the 2- and 3-star reviews that say, find out what's wrong with the book that's there. So I was hoping for a book that walks through the home inspection process. This book doesn't do that. Basically, a poorly edited series of vague musings and truisms on the real estate business. Very little practical information. So there you go. Right there, John. That's where you could step in and write a book that walks people through the home inspection process. And now all of a sudden you're going to get the attention of people like this who are looking for a book like that. Does that take a while? Yeah, it could, but it's something you could start working on the side and start collecting your thoughts and then look to leverage the Amazon platform as not only a new revenue source, but a lead mechanism for your what you do. All right, Trevor, are you out there, man? You've been quiet. He's muted. Mike, hey, I know we're good. John, if you have any other questions. Oh, you are? Okay, what's good, man? What do you think?
Dude, that's awesome. I really like it. I had a question, though, in regards to, like, I've done a lot of research on a couple other projects, one of which would be, like, the growth mindset, and I identified that, you know, like, 8,000 people a month are searching for it, and then the big letdown is that there's one book that's a top seller written by the Stanford PhD who, she talks all about it, but she never tells anyone how to develop it. And I actually had this idea a couple months ago, and then someone did pump out a book. But for something like this that isn't necessarily what I want my website to be based around, would you see benefit in just throwing what I've already built, which is probably a 60% solution, into a Kindle book just to get it out there and just for that reach? I mean, I don't really care about generating the money, but it would be cool to, you know, that's part of, like, the Uncommon Human brand, but not, you know, not what I would necessarily just want to give away as a opt-in on the splash page.
What do you have built so far, and what is it about, and why does it not align with what you're doing?
Well, it does, but it's like a 20-page down and dirty, like, quick how to develop a growth mindset. It's pretty, like, it just takes it from, like, basically how I developed a growth mindset in combat, how it was successful and effective, and how it helped us become the most effective route clearance platoon in Afghanistan. And I originally built that when I was building Growth Mindset Academy as, like, my site, and then I kind of put it off to the side, and it's just sitting there. But I was thinking, like, it's not it's part of Uncommon Human, but it wouldn't be like the definitive thing. So would you recommend like publishing that? Because I think I could pull that off pretty quick.
Here's my thoughts on that. Two things. I'd say one, use it more. I would recommend actually just. Oh, thanks, John. Thanks, Joe. Joe said, thanks, Tom. Great presentation. That was wicked helpful. Good. I'm glad to hear that. If you have any other questions, man, let me know. But Trevor, for you, man, when it comes to this, I might use it the same way I do on my website, where I do these kind of mini, mini lead magnets. Let me see if I can do this pivot.
Well, I thought like the crash course. That sounds awesome. You know, yeah. Like a 4 emails or 4 weeks or something that ends up with the upsell being the book for or the guide.
Yeah, so that's an example. Here's another example. This one got a lot of downloads. So I did a article on pivoting, because a lot of people talk about pivoting in business, but don't actually tell you how.
Yeah.
So in between, in my blog post, I said, download the essential pivot checklist and workbook when you're ready to pivot your business. So think about it. If you're reading this blog post and you care about pivoting your business, and then all of a sudden there's a free checklist, well, why not, right?
Yeah.
So this thing is, I'll show this. This is the process I went through. I used lead pages, obviously, here for this pop-up.
Yeah.
You put in your email address. And let's see. Let me see. I hope this isn't broken, by the way. I just switched over my website to a new server, so I really hope this doesn't blow up on me. So I actually would have to check my email to see if it got emailed to me. So anyway, what I should have done if I had optimized that, I need to actually probably fix that, is make this page the download page. So now I have to just go to a generic thanks page. I think I got redirected to that on accident. Although I'm pretty sure I'll get an email in my inbox soon, but I could redirect this to another page on my site that says, you know, the pivot checklist, and say, hey, thanks for signing up. Here's your pivot checklist. You can download it right here. And then I can track those numbers and those conversions, and that can be a mini guide. And my pivot checklist is just like 5 or 6 pages long. And so I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to put that on Amazon, because there's an expectation when you go to Amazon that when you download something, it's going to be, I don't know, 100 pages at least. You know, you expect like quote-unquote real books when you go to Amazon. So if you download something that's only 20 or 30 pages.
Yeah, you expect a book.
Yeah, so that's why I would suggest against not using Amazon for this particular case. But if you can flesh that out into something that's close to 100 pages, or if you release it as an Amazon, what is it? I think it's called an Amazon single, but I don't know if they do nonfiction, then that could be really powerful. But otherwise, I would say use it as a lead magnet like I did.
Yeah.
And that could be a really powerful lead magnet. It doesn't have to be your primary thing, but it could be just another lead magnet. Like I said, I have like dozens. These are all lead magnets.
Yeah.
For different things. So,
and do they
you
all
need
go
to have just
this,
one.
And they all go to the same email list?
Yeah, most of these, unless it's something specific. But like this, so this free pivot checklist, that does, the Travel and Work Abroad does, the Quick Start Workbook does. And what's interesting is, when I open this up, just to show you the back end of this a little bit. Actually, no, let me close that up. Sorry, my internet's a little slow right now. But, yeah, John's like, I like your picture. Yeah, just time, you know, chilling. That's my thing. So here's what it looks like. I can edit all this stuff in the back end of lead pages, which is pretty simple and really powerful. And again, it's like it's plug and play. And check this out. Select lead magnet. So what I did was I can actually upload lead magnets. Do you see these? All these different lead magnets are little PDFs that I created. And I just tie them into this kind of delivery system. And they all send people back to my main list.
Okay.
And then in my main list, what I did for a while was I actually tagged people, and I still do this. So if somebody downloads this through this link, they're going to get tagged in my MailChimp account that they downloaded this book. And then I can do whatever I want with that. So if I know, you know, 30 people have downloaded this and are tagged, you know, because they downloaded this book, I can then reach out to them directly if I want uniquely. As opposed to reaching out everybody on my list, which I haven't utilized yet. But if you talk about like the real professionals that do this, I think Antonio does this with his Infusionsoft, which is way better software than MailChimp.
Yeah.
But then he can segment his list very easily and get very targeted with his ads and with his sales and marketing approach.
Okay.
Cool. Let me exit out that. Cool. Let's see. So John asks, why orange? Good question. Why not? Because I didn't see anybody else using orange. So, you know, it's branding. Cool, guys. Well, it's 4:10 right now. if there's any other questions you guys have, go ahead and ask. Otherwise, I say we wrap this up. And to preface, I'll say next week, I believe we're not going to have a call next week because it's Thanksgiving, but we will have one the week after that. Next week, though, I will run a office hours, and I think Mary's the only one that responded.